It's been said many times that journalists write the first draft of history. Students at Shasta College in Reading are demonstrating that this year. They are documenting the aftermath and recovery from the Carr Fire. The fire swept into Reading in late July, destroying roughly 1,000 homes and causing 8 deaths. So now the students are documenting the aftermath and recovery through a project supported by California Humanities. Let's hear more about and from the Shasta College project. 4 guests join us. Chris Rodriguez is the instructor at Shasta College in charge of this at the student level. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Jeffrey, thanks so much to have us. This is an honor.
It's a pleasure to have you. We also have 2 students with us, Maisie Yang. Welcome, Maisie.
Yes, thank you.
Joshua Yee is with us as well. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you.
And we have John Lightfoot with us as well. He is the Senior Program Officer at California Humanities, which nearly always refers to itself as CalHUM, as Oregon Humanities refers to itself as OHUM. So, John Lightfoot, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, John, let's start with you. I want to hear about the support for this. This comes through California Humanities Democracy and Informed Citizen Initiative, which is part of a larger initiative. Can you lay out that out for us?
Sure, I would be happy to. So first off, for people who aren't familiar with California Humanities, just let me explain who we are. So we're an independent nonprofit and a state partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. And we've been supporting public humanities activities around the state of California since 1975. And we do that through grant making, and we also do that through partnerships such as this current one with Shasta College. So this initiative, California 2020, is really looking at the experience, the lives and experiences of young people in California today. And there's an understanding that there's 13.5 million or so people under the age of 25 in California, which is, you know, a larger number than the total population of 46 other states. And there's a sense that in this era where, you know, the credibility of news and journalism is under some attack, there's a question of how young people are getting the information they need in order to make, you know, sort of reasoned, sound decisions about the issues and subjects that are going to affect us all as a state. So this Democracy and Informed Citizen program received some support from the Mellon Foundation and regionally the McConnell Foundation to bring Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists to community college campuses, such as the Sonia Nazario Forum last week at Shasta College, and to support, you know, campus-designed and campus-led media literacy and journalism activities. And what Shasta College has done is really quite extraordinary, and Chris, of course, will explain it. But that's the gist of it. It's the sense of we want students and youth to be not just critical consumers of media and journalism, but also active producers.
So, Chris, I noticed that the teaching approach is not necessarily a journalism or an English class, but this is being done through Sociology 1. Is that right?
Yeah, that is the case. I'm working in partnership with sociology professor Heather Wiley. And last summer when this offer came to Shasta College, we don't have a journalism class or a full-time journalism professor here on college. So Heather and I said, you know what, let's just tweak this sociology class. I'm a history instructor. Let's tweak the sociology class and in which students will learn elements of how to be a journalist, the tools of the trade, yet look at that through a sociological lens. So it was a sociological honors class, and I'm telling you, the first day of class, the 15 or so students who come in thinking they're in for just a general sociology 1 class were blown away when they knew, oh, we're going to have to, you know, turn this into a semester-long long-form journal article or long-form podcast. So it was a process for all of us, and I think it turned out wonderfully. And this is just the beginning of what I think will be a great thing at Shasta College. Our goal is to actually create a Shasta College Center for Investigative Reporting.
Okay, so Maisie Yang, when you walked into Sociology 1 for this term, what did you think you were going to get, and what did you actually get?
I walked into the class, you know, just like Chris had said, thinking that I was going to get just a normal lecture every day and then take a test every now and then. But yeah, I ended up getting a semester-long project that I had to stay up many nights for to finish. And honestly, I learned a lot from it.
Tell me about how you in particular were affected by the Carr Fire. I mean, it did affect obviously lots of lives in that area.
I was actually on the opposite of town of where it was burning, but the smoke was so thick, it actually reignited my asthma that I had when I was a little kid. So the smoke was very thick. It was at one point, it was impossible to see almost 10 feet in front of you. It looked like a post-apocalyptic film.
Yeah, it really did at times, yeah. I'm sure. Joshua Yee, and tell us about your own experience with the car fire.
Well, I wasn't affected by the fire, personally. As a matter of fact, when the fire happened, I was actually back at home in New York. And I actually arrived when it was somewhat contained, but not fully. But I did arrive with smoke everywhere, and it felt like what Katie said, apocalyptic. And it kind of reminded me of like 9/11 back in New York, because I just saw a lot of posters saying like, thank you, firefighters. And that was basically New York when 9/11 happened. And so it kind of gave me a little bit of a memory of what I saw back at home at that time. So, yeah.
So you were old enough to have remembered 9/11. Is that what I'm hearing?
Somewhat. All I remember was just seeing the posters of thank you firefighters, as well as just seeing a lot of dust everywhere, and to the point where we had to wear masks. Like what happened here in Reading, we were forced to wear masks too, because the air quality wasn't that great. So.
No, it was downright terrible at times, no question. So Joshua Yee, Maisie Yang, students at Shasta College, Chris Rodriguez, a history instructor at Shasta College, John Lightfoot from California Humanities, all our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about this ongoing project at Shasta College, supported by Cal Humanities, Cal Hum, to let students document the aftermath of the car fire. We'll come back and talk more with all of our guests, and if you'd like to join us by phone and email, we'll get you into the conversation too when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in 1:15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about the aftermath of the car fire in the Reading area and how it is being approached by students at Shasta College. They have actually been talking to people about the road ahead, how Reading recovers from the fire that destroyed nearly 1,000 homes and killed 8 people in late July. And they have gotten this work through a project at Shasta College through Chris Rodriguez, history instructor, working with the sociology professor Heather Wiley, and also support from California Humanities. We have John Lightfoot from Cal Hum with us. Chris Rodriguez is with us, and students Maisie Yang and Joshua Yee as well. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. John Lightfoot at California Humanities, this represents, I would think, some extreme flexibility on the part of Shasta College, because, you know, the fire was in July, and by this academic year, they got geared up to do this program.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So we actually started these conversations with Shasta College about a year ago. So we were already, things were sort of underway. And ideally, we wanted the focus to be on subjects and interests of concern to the individual campuses. And this occurred over the summer, and I think it became very clear to Chris, Heather, and others that this was needed to be the focus. So I'm glad we could be supportive, because it's obviously a meaningful, rather intense and traumatic experience for a community to go through. And I think I'm glad we were able to support this sort of deep dive into the implications of the fire and the community response.
So, Chris Rodriguez, how did you and Heather decide to what would be included in the program, what wouldn't, and then what were the instructions to the students?
Well, that's a good question. Well, pre-car fire, we had polled the students about what interests, what things would you like to know more about, what would you like to investigate in Reading and the Shasta College community. And issues such as mental health, drug abuse, the raising of the Shasta Dam and how that's butting up against many people's environmental issues and Native American rights issues, and many other just local issues that are still out there. But once the car fire happened, it was a no-brain pivot. And this was Heather Wiley's idea. Like, we just have to focus on the car fire. There's so many stories to dig deep into. And that's how we pivoted.
And so Joshua Yee, tell us about how you got started on your project.
Well, we were given like an outline of what to do, and we basically decided to interview a couple of people, one particularly an English instructor here named Sarah Innes and her children. And what we did was we just interviewed them just to, I would say, get a feel of what kind of direction we wanted to go with our podcast. But that's all I remember was just interviewing her and her family. And then after that, we had a somewhat idea of what we wanted to do, but then that eventually changed as we progressed.
Yeah, because that'll happen to a journalist, I find. You're out on a story and something else comes along.
Chris, yeah, as I said, we started from the ground up, and I can't say how much help Studio 2B, Joaquin Alvarado, and Kristen Bolden were in Studio 2B, the co-founders of the Center for Investigative Reporting. They came up here in the early semester to talk to our students and just give them the nuts and bolts about the importance of an informed citizenry, the media and an informed citizenry. And then we took a couple steps forward and said, all right, we made press passes. We got some recorders for them. We said, this is how you do on and off the record interviews. This is how you do just background informative discussions. So they really were just learning the nuts and bolts, yet had a December 21st deadline to complete a whole project. So it was rather amazing. And we kept emphasizing to the students, it's not the final product. It's this process, because you all, didn't we call you guinea pigs once or twice?
Yeah.
So, and what they produce, if you hear the podcast, it's wonderful.
Well, why don't we go ahead and listen to one of those right now? We'll do this one called Shasta Podcast Real Estate. Any setup needed for this, Chris, Maisie, or Joshua?
Yeah. So, are you going to play a little clip from the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So mainly our podcast is just about how the car fire had impacted, more specifically, the real estate market around here, and just how we can recover from the fire itself and how we can stay as Shasta strong.
Okay, so let's hear a chunk of this podcast on real estate in Shasta County.
Shasta County and the city of Redding will not be the same as it was before the car fire. And I'm not just talking about the way the city will look, but the trauma many people have faced will be like scars and memories ingrained in their lives. Hearing these stories from those affected by the Santa Rosa fire, car fire, and Paradise fire, find a common theme of concerns and unknown as many are moving forward and trying to find their way back home. One of the first concerns in the Redding community was a focus on the housing market and the lack of housing for the victims of car fire. I spoke with the president of the Board of Realtors about his thoughts on price gouging for rentals or if there was going to be a price increase in the housing market.
But in turn, insurance companies pay more. So that's what some people went to rentals because they can get more than the normal market would bear because insurance pays more.
Wow.
When they call you up and say, hey, would you take $4,500 a month for your house?
Yeah, so it was in their benefit almost to open their house up to the victims.
Yes.
Okay.
And a regular person is not going to pay that.
Wow, that's true.
So
did the rent increase go up then? Did you see like a rent increase?
Rents have gone up.
Did any local realtors voice their opinions or concerns?
Well, Josh Barker, a local realtor in town, also reported to the local newspaper. Here is his opinion about price gouging. He said, I don't see that. There will be a bump in the short term, maybe 6 months, while people solve their immediate housing situations. So people who can buy will buy right away. But after that, I think we will return to some sort of balanced market.
Oh, interesting.
Redding really pulled together as a community after the car fire. Even property managers were putting a website together for the victims to find rentals and homes to buy.
So, Maisie Yang, as you got into this project, I mean, how many skills were you taking on that you had either not used before or used much anyway?
A lot. Too many to count with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a challenge trying to pick and choose what tools to use, what ones to exclude, because we were given so many tools to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of it all, it was like little, least is more, basically. So we tried to do as little as possible to really get like what we were trying to convey with all of the interviews and all of our analyses.
Yeah, they really wanted to dig deep. What Heather and I did was bombard them with many, many connections, right? How many phone numbers and peoples and meetings did I set you up with? Yet you could only choose so much. Could you tell us about some of the process by which you actually did the recording, like in the hotel room bathroom to get the guitar sound or whatever? This is a great story.
When we first began recording, it was recommended that we record in a closet because that would create the least amount of echo and preferably with a blanket over our heads. So that's how we did a lot of our recordings. We hid in a
closet. Radio people do that a lot, I should point out.
Yeah. We hid in a closet together, our whole group. We threw a giant blanket over our heads and started recording. And I mean, even the music we had recorded by
my roommate Kevin, and to get the good sound quality, we actually went to the bathroom and recorded in the bathroom just to get that good quality, and it actually sounded pretty nice.
But talk about, if you would, Maisie, particularly for you being from the area and having been there during the fire, what it was like to talk to people about their own issues, their own trauma, while you had some of your own to deal with.
It was very emotional. We had we were trying to stray away from the more emotional aspects of the car fire and how it impacted people, but there was no way to get around it. Like, it was traumatic for all of the victims and for myself as well. And just, we interviewed Sarah Ennis's young son, Milo, and he had opened up to us and told us that he never really talked to any of his friends about it, and that this was the first time, you know, conveying how he actually felt and how he was actually scared, but he was trying to be strong, and how at this point, like, the best way to look is just to look forward. And that right there, I thought was very powerful because he was he's so much younger than me, at least. And it was like, wow, it seemed like he had the same level of maturity that I had. And like, I could see where he was coming from. And I thought it was just very powerful how he worded what he had to say. And it was just very interesting to see you know, our small project was able to help others in that way when we thought we were just doing like a basic project, no emotional attachment, but there was actually a lot of connection because of the emotion in our interviews. And I think that's actually what made our podcast the way it was these unexpected emotional moments and the pauses and the breaks that we had in between each interview. It was very impacting, and I mean, I was there, so I understood what they were coming from. And they were actually in the fires, a lot of these victims. I was just in the smoke. Mm-hmm. But I could just imagine it for a young boy like him, like how scary it would have been. And I mean, being an adult, I would have been scared poopless.
Thank you. Thank you for mending that for radio. Yes. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. We're talking to some people from Shasta College involved in a major journalism project to cover the aftermath of the car fire and how Reading moves forward from this point. Chris Rodriguez is history instructor at Shasta College. Heather Wiley from sociology was his partner in the teaching part of this. Maisie Yang and Joshua Yee are the students. And this all got support from California Humanities, where John Lightfoot is senior program officer. If you have questions or comments for the students, the instructor, or John Lightfoot, by all means, give us a call at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So much media in the world today, Chris Rodriguez. How did you settle upon podcasts and not something involving video, perhaps?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I think many folks in my circle of friends and acquaintances listen to podcasts, you know, almost addicted to podcasts. But interestingly, when we surveyed the students and asked them, how many of y'all listen to podcasts, it was less than a third, wasn't it? Just very few of you? Do you, any of you two regularly listen to podcasts? Oh, okay, Macy does. Yeah. All right. The other reason why we offered them this medium was because we were going to be in conjunction with Studio 2B, Joaquin Alvarado, down in Oakland. And we actually had the opportunity to go visit his Studio 2B, which is a very welcoming environment in which we're going to try to model our Center for Investigative Reporting on. Wasn't it such a welcoming environment for everybody? Yeah, so, you know, there's food in the fridge, there's drinks in the refrigerator, yet there's recording equipment downstairs. So they got firsthand experience to see, wow, this is how podcasts are made, and this is one medium that seems to be growing. Yet we did also offer them the opportunity to, if they want to do just long form, written piece, that's fine as well. Two of the groups actually chose the written long form piece with some photos involved. But this group that we're speaking with today did decide to do the podcast.
Joaquin Alvarado was the one who did the interview with Sonia Nazario when she was in town recently, right?
Yeah, that was quite an event. We had over 400 people at the event last Wednesday. And according to everybody I spoke with here at Chaska College, it was one of the it's the biggest attended event that anybody remembers. It was quite an evening.
Well, she was pretty amazing on the radio, too, when we had her in advance the day before. And wish we could have had her for a whole hour, like we're having you guys on at the moment. So John Lightfoot, I noticed that Shasta is not the only college involved with the overall Democracy and Informed Citizen Initiative. You've been taking Sonia Nazario to other campuses as well, and obviously not the other campuses didn't have the kind of situation that Reading and Shasta College had. So I wonder what sorts of projects they are doing while Shasta College has been doing this journalism project.
Right. So we worked with four community colleges around the state. So Bakersfield College, the San Diego Community College District, and the Foothill Vianza Community College District. And each circumstance was slightly different. Some were based around classroom activities and convenings. And in each case, Sonia Nazario visited campuses and had a public forum, and then followed that with a more intimate sort of workshop, discussion, presentation with students on campus, such as she did at Shasta College last week. So it's a public event and there's a private event, or the campus-based event. You know, they're all taking slightly different things. In Bakersfield, at Bakersfield College, they've partnered with a sort of youth media organization called South Kern Soul, who are doing local reporting projects from a sort of younger person's perspective. In San Diego, it's all about digital online journalism. And at Foothill Vianza, it's a range of reporting projects and hands-on media literacy training activities. So the idea is, you know, we're working with these four institutions for, you know, demographic reasons, for geographical diversity, and we're getting a really interesting range of perspectives from around the state.
All right, so all kinds of stuff going on in four different parts of the state. Chris Rodriguez, I wonder, you know, podcasts can be somewhat more subjective than standard audio fare like we do on public radio. But what were the instructions to the students about how much of themselves to put in there, or whether to leave the interviews to drive the narrative, that sort of thing?
Oh, wow. Being a history professor, that is not my wheelhouse. So that's why we're so lucky to do this in collaboration with many faculty mentors here on campus. Jim Dyer's here on campus. He's a longtime journalist and director of the Writing Center. Katie Leach, Kylie Duran, Peter Griggs. So it was definitely a team effort. So where the students got a lot of their just nuts and bolts about the podcast business was with Joaquin Alvarado and the other mentors. So, yeah, so as a historian, my biggest... what I tried to get across to them was pick a question, do some secondary resource research about that, and then go out and do the interviews, what us historians call primary research. Go out and get the interviews, and if your question or anything pivots, that's fine. And it hopefully better pivot the more you know, because you don't know what you don't know when you first start. So that was, I think, the extent of my contribution.
Well, yeah, and as a historian too, you know that perceptions will change over time, and I wonder if you're planning follow-up with some of the same people who were talked to in the first round here.
That's a great question. Unfortunately, because we are a two-year college, Joshua Yee is graduating out this year. He's heading back east. right? Macy, are you still with us for a while here at the college? I forget.
Possibly, but okay. I'm also looking to go on foreign exchange.
Okay, to Korea, that's right. Yeah, great. So to answer your question, moving forward, we are currently, I'm talking with journalist teachers at the high school level and also just canvassing our campus here for students who will be involved in either this semester or next semester's projects. Because again, there's so many hours of interviews these students have archived that we didn't use, that there's so much, you know, great stories that need to be put out there, not only to put out there for the interest of this class or just having it done, but to heal our community. Because rebuilding is not just a brick and mortar project, it's also to sort of revitalize our community by getting together this Center for Investigative Journalism. And what better platform than Shasta College? So moving forward is definitely in the wings, and we are doing that right now.
All right, more to talk about with the folks from Shasta College about their investigative journalism project to cover the aftermath of the car fire and how the area moves forward from that. We'll come back and talk more with Chris Rodriguez, Macy Yang, Joshua Yee, and John Lightfoot when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about the aftermath of the car fire as covered by students at Shasta College in a journalism project supported by California Humanities that really had them talking to people in the community about where things go, where is the future of Reading, how are they picking up the pieces and moving on. It's a project that I mentioned it's actually part of an overall project of California Humanities about democracy and the informed citizen, and part of a larger effort called Youth Perspective and the Future of California. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk to John Lightfoot at California Humanities, students Macy Yang and Joshua Yee at Shasta College, and Chris Rodriguez, their history instructor, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And I want to move into another one of the, we have another clip from one of the podcasts. This one's about rebuilding costs. And I don't know if one of the students were involved with this directly enough to set it up for us.
It's called Rebuilding. Say it again.
It's about rebuilding costs.
Oh, cost. Okay.
That was actually done by one of our other team members. Her name is Kirsten Elwick. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here today. But she did an amazing job talking about the rebuilding process and how that process itself is impacting not only our community, but the housing market in our area as well.
Okay.
Because like many community college students know, she's not only a full-time student, she also works darn near full-time in the real estate industry. So that was her into that interview.
Okay, so Kristen Elwick is the main driver on this podcast portion we're about to hear.
According to an article by Damon Arthur, he mentioned that because of the expensive costs, the Board of Supervisors had approved on September 18, 2018, for some victims to be able to build their homes using codes from 1997 instead, which should help these victims save thousands of dollars in construction costs.
That's good.
Yeah, for sure. And to add to the good news, in an interview that Kirsten and Joshua had conducted over the phone with Sylvia Blue Elves, she had mentioned that after the Tubbs fire in Santa Rosa, she saw that the community actually came together and became tighter than it was before the fire.
There was a man that got together,
yep.
And in our immediate neighborhood at Christmas time, he started putting up Christmas trees, and he went out and got battery-operated lights, and was putting Christmas trees and lights on people's lots, on their driveways or whatever, wherever he could put them. Mm-hmm. And all up and down the street, there was decorations. We came together as a community. We had a Christmas in our neighborhood.
Perhaps his actions were influenced by the Christmas and giving spirit, but the comfort of community didn't seem to fade even after the holidays were over.
The community is really strong.
Yeah.
It's been very strong.
Wow.
In fact, we have something currently that they've been doing through, I guess, the summer, possibly from spring, that they call Wine Wednesdays.
Ooh.
And so every Wednesday at 6, the neighborhood, whether you have a home standing still or you're a fire victim, we get together, and it's in one of the cul-de-sacs, and you bring a chair and a bottle of wine, and you meet your neighbors, and you you break bread, and it's just this outpouring of love and strength.
What's beautiful about this is that they were able to turn this disaster into a place that felt like home again. Home. Something that everyone in any community desires. Somewhere where they can feel that they are safe, and somewhere where they can feel that they belong. In an interview with Sarah Innes, she and her two kids expressed that all they wanted was a place that felt like home.
It's hard to make a house a home when you're busy doing other things, and because it's not our stuff, and it's hard to know where to even start with decorating, so we don't have a lot of things that make it feel like our home.
Anyone will feel that way after losing their childhood home. So many memories and moments were shared together in their home, but in just a few seconds of flame, it's all gone.
Definitely. Which is why many families plan to rebuild their homes. But it is also important to keep in mind that nothing will be exactly the same as it once was. However, I think that we can all agree that the biggest thing that Redding and Paradise and Santa Rosa need is to be heard by their governments and communities in these times of need. Governor Brown once stated in an interview, "These kinds of horrible situations bring people together regardless of the lesser kind of ideologies and partisan considerations. It's tragic that tragedy brings us closer together, but out of that, we learn to depend on each other and work together."
That another portion of one of the podcasts produced by the students at Shasta College in this journalism project that was supported by California Humanities to document the aftermath of the Carr fire. We're talking to Chris Rodriguez, their instructor, a history instructor at Shasta College. Students are Macy Yang and Joshua Yee, and John Lightfoot's with us as well from California Humanities. For Joshua and Macy, give us an idea of what it was like to go out there and talk to people who had very fresh wounds. Joshua?
It was really difficult, because, one, they're still, recovering, and, it was, we really didn't want to bug them, as well as we didn't want to, put any emotional ties to the interview at all. And there are times where, some of the, people that we interviewed were crying right in front of us, and it was really hard to keep a straight face and not show any emotions, because we learned in class, as a journalist, you want to be neutral. You don't want to show any emotions, and it was really hard for me personally, because whenever I see someone cry, I mean, you can feel the waterworks building up, and it was really hard. So, and also as well as hearing even the kids remembering what happened and sharing it for the first time, it was really heartbreaking. And especially since I'm not from this part of the world, and to hear someone lose their home, I can only imagine how devastating that would
you. Yeah, and not to just to add, like, it wasn't that we weren't trying to not show any emotions, but it was more of the fact that we were just trying to stay professional and stay on topic while also being compassionate but also being professional.
Yeah, welcome to the journalist world, where you're trying to maintain some level of some level of detachment, but still be human at the same time.
It was a hard struggle, because there were times where we wanted to give them a hug and be like, it's going to be okay. But at the same time, we had to continue on with the interviews and carry on with the conversation in a way that was still professional.
So Macy, again, you're from Redding, but not the part of town that burned, you mentioned, but your old long ago asthma got re-triggered by all the smoke. What was it like, though, for you? I mean, were there things that were coming to mind for you as a resident of Redding, as you were talking to people about what was going on here, that kind of triggered some stuff in you as you were talking to them?
I'm actually not a long time resident here. I'm actually from Alaska. I've only been here for a couple of years, a handful of years. But yeah, just hearing everybody else's, like a lot of people, they shared their story of leaving the city actually. And that's what kind of got to me the most, was because, the smoke was so bad that my family decided to take me out of the city too. So we all left, to avoid the smoke. And so hearing everybody else's story of leaving as well, I thought my story of leaving was bad because when we left, the freeways were packed and it was hard to, you know, try and leave as soon as possible without possibly getting into a car accident, because everybody was just scared and everybody was driving a little hectically. And, you know, I thought, wow, my car driving experience during this time was bad. But I hear all these other stories and they were literally driving like only a couple miles away from flames, like right behind them. And they were stuck on tiny roads and in town streets and things like that. And it was much harder for them to leave than it was for me. And I feel very fortunate, but I also feel very, I feel bad for the victims that they had to go through something like that. Like, I could only imagine how scary that was. Like, there's literally a giant fire right behind you and
right,
you can barely run a mile an hour.
So Chris Rodriguez, it would have been obviously while the students were working on their podcasts about the car fire, that the campfire destroyed most of Paradise, which is not terribly far away from Reading, about an hour and a quarter or so. And was there any discussion of shifting the focus of what you were doing there, or was you just decide to stay in Shasta County?
No, indeed. It would have been unprofessional not to acknowledge the devastation of the campfire. And the third group, who is not here today, they actually were focusing on wildlife fire management, and they were comparing indigenous wildfire management with the last 100 years of wildfire management, and wrote a brilliant piece. But then a couple of the students went down to the campfire and just did some reporting down there and interviewed folks down at the Walmart parking lot and elsewhere down in Paradise. And they did sort of attach it, try to weave it into their narrative. But again, it's going to be something that they're going to edit again and edit again. They're going to keep building on it. And we're encouraging that. Heather and I are like, this process is not over. Build on your work. So yeah, the campfire played a large role in especially the third group's reporting, and it will in future student reportings, I'm sure.
Right. Well, I was about to ask if you had anybody who looked at fire management, and the answer is obviously yes. And I'll tell you, after 35 years of living in the area, I'm still having trouble understanding it all. So.
Yeah, we had a great group of students to go out to Whiskeytown, and they talked to the chief wildfire management person out at Whiskeytown. They interviewed a car fire person out at Whiskeytown, and they were able to walk through and witness a control burn long after the car fire had passed. And they did some incredible research and did a they're in the process of doing a FOIA report, a FOIA Freedom of Information Act request, in order to get some more information about the money flows during and after the car fire, national and state level. So it's a continuing project, and Heather and I are just kind of trying to fold it into a class so the students get some sort of credit somehow. So that's what we're in the process of doing.
So it got bigger than the class, you're saying?
Yeah, it is bigger than the class, so we're going to have to make the class bigger.
So let me understand. So this was a first semester thing, but is it going on during the current semester as well?
Well, yeah. Heather's teaching a sociology of media currently this spring semester, in which one of the research projects is to continue and do some journalist-based interview project. And they're still, students get to choose, right? And we just offer the guidance. And I'm teaching world history class, and the third part of my world history class will be studying journalists of the 20th century, whether they be muckrakers or foreign journalists and what have you. And then I'm going to have the students continue on that specific journalist topic and do some reporting on their own. Wow. For example, Sonia Nassadio is one of the journalists some of the students are going to choose to learn about and then continue her reporting in whichever way they see fit.
Okay, all kinds of things going on. John Lightfoot, tell me about what California Humanities has learned from what the Shasta College students have come up with.
Well, first, just let me say it's such fabulous work. I mean, just even hearing that snippet of the podcast was both emotional, informative, elevated people's voices who, may not have had other outlets. So I just want to commend the students for their work. It's just so great. So for us, you know, we're based in Oakland and we have a Los Angeles office as well, and we're not on the ground in Reading. So our work with Chris and Heather and the students there has really, you know, been kind of a privilege. We want to be supportive of, you know, their activities, but for us, it kind of extends our reach as well. So we have some access and we build relationships and communities with folks in Reading. And that's part of the design, the intentional design of this entire initiative, is saying, how do we better serve other parts of the state outside of the Bay Area and Los Angeles?
Chris Rodriguez, is there a central place where people can go to hear the podcast?
Oops, thank you, Mick. There is. We've uploaded it to our Shasta College library webpage. So if you go to our library webpage and search for Shasta 2020, the podcast is up there. A little bio about all the mentors and our partners and the students is up there.
Okay.
And I would be happy to send it to you, and maybe you can link it to the Jefferson Exchange's website.
That was exactly the plan.
Great.
Okay, so yeah,
and
go
if
ahead.
If I could add one more thing. So our student newspaper at Shasta College is called The Lance, because mm-hmm. we're the Shasta Knights. So The Lance is the name of the paper. And in the 1990s, it was an award-winning paper that really did some deep reporting on various things related to Shasta College and the community. And because of this initiative and because of the excitement of our students and Sonia Nasadio coming and this year-long project, it's like a phoenix being risen from the ashes. One of the student fellows is currently the editor. So we are rebuilding this Shasta College newspaper in this brand new and much different media environment.
Wow. Congratulations, and thank you for joining us. Chris Rodriguez, history instructor, Macy Yang and Joshua Yee, students, and John Lightfoot from California Humanities. Thank you all for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.